Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Late Flag, the aftermatch podcast of the LFC Red Poets. Tonight, we look back at a major disappointment as Liverpool's attempt to win the quadruple is ended by a late goal in extra time, and Liverpool go down to a 4-3 defeat to Manchester United. I'm your host, Les Lawson, and I'm joined tonight by Pete Warburton and Ben Kent Jr. Tom Keegan sends his apologies. Pete, I will start with you. At past two, the team is announced. We seem to be getting better, you know, with in terms of the injury situation. You know, we've got Salah, Diaz and Nunes up front. We've got Endo, McAllister and Saboz in midfield. And then, although we've got Robbo back at left back, Joe Gomez at right back, and Kwanzaa starting in place of Ibu alongside Virgil with Kel still in goal. So, you know, we did indicate, or I did think that Joe Gomez would start today, you know, when we went through the team on the last podcast. It was just a decision of where he would start, on the right or the left. Jürgen prompted to start him down the right. And you know, I still would have preferred them to have started at left back, but I can understand, you know, why you started with Robbo. What did you make of the side?
I think it was pretty much as we suggested on the last part. I think I'm just looking because I still had it written down here. I thought Conor Bradley might have got a start at right back, as opposed to Joe. But apart from that, I had the other 10 names down. So it looked a good, strong side, balanced side. I don't know, I'm still a bit sort of down from the results, to be honest. But yeah, you know, a kickoff, it looked a decent 11. Like you say, we had Mo back and Szoboszlai back. I just thought maybe Conor would have got the nod, but that's no slight on Joe Gomez at all. I just think we'll speak obviously about the game a bit later, but I think in a nutshell we lost the game rather than Man United won it. I just thought our decision making was poor throughout the game.
Yeah, Ben, what did you make of the starting 11 that Jürgen come up with? I mean, to me a lot of it picked itself. I think there was a couple of decisions he had to make, really, was, you know, who was going to start with McAllister and Endo? Was it going to be Szoboszlai or Elliot? And, you know, who was going to be in the back four alongside Virgil? You know, because Joe Gomez could have played centre-back as well as in the, you know, in either the full-back positions. So what did you make of the starting team?
I think the lineup was fine. I messaged you, didn't I? And said I was happy with it. It was stronger than I thought it possibly could have been. I had no qualms with that team whatsoever. I thought it was more than enough to beat them. And as Pete said, I think it was more to do with a case of us not playing to our capabilities and letting them into the game, more so than our first choice 11 being not good enough. So, yeah, I think the first choice 11 should have won the game.
Pete, so the game gets underway and United make a really quick start. You know, as you'd expected them to be, you know, the crowd are really up for it and they really went, you know, at us, didn't they, in the first sort of 15, 20 minutes and got rewarded. You know, just as when you thought we'd seen out a little bit of a storm. You know, they got a goal in that sort of passage of play. So what did you make at the start of the game?
I just thought we looked a little bit off the pace. You know, we've been renowned for some slow starts in the past, haven't we? And one thing you can't do against United at Old Trafford is give the crowd any lift. But I just thought we did start slowly. I'm not saying they deserved to take a lead, but it wasn't it wasn't a shock when they did take the lead. They weren't absolutely battering us and stuff, but it wasn't a total shock because we just started slowly and we just didn't seem to get a control of the ball like we normally do. It was a good save actually off Kells, but unfortunately, rather than go over the bar, it just went up in the air. And McTominay was there to get there before, I think it might have been Maka. But it wasn't totally, as I say, a shock. More of a disappointment that we'd started the game a little sluggishly, to be honest. And then after the goal, we just seemed to get a little grip of the game. We got a foothold really, and we started actually playing a bit of football and keeping possession, which really we wanted from the first, the kickoff. But yeah, it was a slow start, but eventually after about 15, 20 minutes, we started getting into it.
It was a sluggish start, wasn't it, Ben? They come fast out the traps as you'd expect them to. Getting fired up. By their crowd. As to be fair, when the boot was on the other foot, we used to do exactly the same against them. When they were, the better side of the two, and we were the underdogs, and we used to turn up at Anfield and try to do exactly, to them what they did to us at the start of the game, come out fast, the crowd would be up for it. And as Pete said, they might not have deservedly gone ahead, but it was no surprise when they did.
I think we made them look better than they actually are. And I think that was the case for the whole game. We stood off them. I thought when they scored the first goal, I know ITV were saying, oh, United deserve it. And I was thinking, well, Mo Salah had a hell of a chance before it was they scored. But United were the best team. They still had the best. No qualms with that. They were at home. It frustrated the life out of me, Les, the fact that we sort of respected them far too much than we should have done. Like, we are a far better team than them. Our starting lineup was a better lineup than they had. And it was disappointing to see. I know they're at home and they've got the crowd behind them, but we had 9,000 fans there. It wasn't like it was a league game. So it was disappointing. And I thought the team started out quite slow. Saying that, after we conceded the goal, I thought we grew into it. I thought we started to take control of the game and actually get a foothold in it. But it was disappointing to concede the first goal.
Yeah, Ben's right there. Mo did have it. I wouldn't say it was a, I think it was a half chance, I would say, and he was unlucky. It come at the back post, didn't it, Pete? And, he hit it on the volley and it just went wide. But that was the sort of indicates that Liverpool would just start to get into the game. And then, as you say, they broke forward. And I think that on their goal, when you look back at it, Kwanzaa got dragged out and Endo didn't follow his man. And the guy broke down the left, had a shot. It was a good save by Kells and McTominay was following it in and put them 1-0 ahead. And then you think, hey, up here we go. And, we've got a job on our hands now. But it was sloppy from Liverpool, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Mo's chance was about a minute before they scored the first goal. And he took it really well, in fairness. He did everything he had to, bar put it in the corner of the net. He kept it low. He didn't sky it. It was like a controlled pass more than a shot. And it just went the wrong side of the post. But, yeah, they go up the other end. And I think it was Garnacho who had the shot. And Kelleher made a decent save. But as I say, unfortunately, it went up in the air rather than over the bar or whatever. And McTominay was the first to it. And I think for a few minutes after that, I think United, without threatening to run away with it, they took a bit of spirit from that, and I think they had the next few minutes. But then I think just on the quarter hour mark, Luis Diaz put a pass into Robbo, and he shot, but he skied it over the bar. But we started, that's when we started looking. We were stringing balls together and stringing passes together. And you just thought, Liverpool, right, you know, we've seen what United have got. We'll have the measure of them. But yeah, it was just a disappointing start, really. As I say, I think the slow start just played into their hands and the crowd were up. The one thing you want to do at United is silence the crowd. And as I say, the last thing you want to do is give them any encouragement. Unfortunately, we did.
Then Liverpool started to gradually take control of the game, and the commentators on ITV were stating that United's midfield was starting to feel the pace a little bit. And then Liverpool had the goal from Endo that was disallowed for offside, which I thought was really, really close. And you thought when that happened, you thought, you know, I hope it's not going to be one of those days. But we did start to look a threat again, didn't we?
We took control, Les. The midfield was dominating. And the Endo goal, I don't know where you watched it, but I was in the pub, and we were all jumping up and down. And then it was as soon as the replay came on, you realised, I think it was Mo, was offside. And so be it. But we deserved the equaliser at that point. We were in control, we were the best team. And we were showing our dominance as we should have done, as we should have done earlier in the game. And I think that was the biggest disappointment, the fact that we didn't show our authority. And I'm not going to lie, that does worry me. It really does, the fact that we let them dominate the game for the first 20 minutes. But we deservedly, through not Endo, but got the equaliser. And it wasn't against the run of play. We deserved that. And I don't think anyone could argue with that. We got the equaliser and then went on to, as I'm sure you're going to say to Pete now, got the second as well for half time, which was not against the run of play in any way.
Yeah, Pete, you're leading up to, you know, to half time. We're really starting to turn the screw, and then we got our reward with a really good run by Jarrell Kwanza, you know, right into the heart of the United sort of half of the field and towards their 18-yard box. You know, he plays a nice ball across, and the ball's laid back by Darwin to McAllister, and you know, aid of a deflection, and we're level. And it was what we deserved at that point in the game, because United's threat had been extinguished at that point, and it was just a case of, you know, let's hope we can get on level terms for half time. And it looked as though McAllister had done that, and it was a well deserved goal.
Yeah, I think just a few minutes before that, it was. I think United had another really good chance, to be honest. And McTominay shot right down Kelleher's throat. I think either side of him, and it could have been 2-0. But like you say, we had like little half chances. I think Luis Diaz, prior to the Endo disallowed goal, went on a run and he shot to the post, and I think Onana made a good save. And then we had the disallowed goal, like Ben said, when you looked at the replay. I still think it's a stupid rule that someone's armpit can be ruled offside. I think you've got to go with feet, but we'll discuss that on another occasion. Because if you looked at Mo's actual feet, he was onside, but there you go. So that was disallowed. And then you just thought, right, get to half time at 1-0 down, and you know, we'll take it to them. And then, as you say, he gave Jarrell loads of space to run into. He knocks it into Darwin, and then McAllister scores with the aid of the deflection. And then you looked at United, and I was watching it with our Jack, and I said, they're just trying to get to half time here. And they were trying to play, you know, trying to play possession of football. And then before you know it, we've nicked the ball off them again, and we've gone 2-1 up at the break. So it must have been a body blow to United, that. Because I think they were really trying to get to half time just on 1-1 to regroup.
Yeah, And it was, again, it was good play by Liverpool. You know, Joe Gomez won the ball on the far side from Fernandes, who was, as usual, trying to get his obligatory foul, you know, when there wasn't one, which he eventually got booked for complaining. You know, the ball come back. You know, Luis Diaz, you know, lays the ball to Darwin, who has a shot. It's saved by the keeper, and Mo puts in the rebound. And all of a sudden, from being 1-0 down, happy days, you're going in 2-1 up, and you're thinking, right, you know, that's just totally changed the complex of the game. The half-time team talk's now going to be totally different for both teams. And you really fancied that Liverpool then would go on and, you know, in the second half and really kill the game. But before we talk about the second half, just your thoughts on the second goal, Ben.
I thought Mo Salah did everything he could do to miss it. I didn't know what happened, to be honest, Les. I know he took it with his right foot. But no, I think, although you could argue it probably wasn't deserved on the play in the first half, I thought it was deserved from the fact that we are the better team. Nobody will ever convince me that we're not the better team against them. And I thought, when Mo scored that second goal, I thought, oh, thank Christ, you know, that's it. Normal service resumed. We'll start to show our dominance in this game. We'll talk about the second half in a minute. But he obviously took it his right foot, it went in off the post. But as half-time came, I thought, oh, thank God for that. We'll settle now. Jürgen will work his magic. And just a word for McAllister again. What a player he is. Like he was good in that first half. I know he scored the first goal, didn't he? But he's a stunning player. But no, I went into half time. I thought we'll be all right for the second half. We'll go on and win it comfortably. And that was how I thought this.
Yeah, Pete, and you know, the team's come out for the second half, and again for the first sort of 5 minutes of the half, United sort of tried to come out fast, but they didn't really hurt us. Liverpool seemed totally in control of the game. And as the half went on, you know, Liverpool just seemed to be in cruise control early. And the number of times that we got the final ball wrong. And it reminded me a little bit of the game away to Burnley, where we had so many chances to put the game to bed and didn't do so. And you're just sitting there thinking, blimmin' hell, I hope this isn't going to come back to haunt us. And even Jürgen on the sidelines was getting really frustrated with them, with the sort of getting the final pass wrong. So what did you make at the start of the second half?
I think they had a little go first 5 minutes or so. Put a couple of crosses in. And, you know, it was, you know, I think I remember one that Virgil intercepted and stuff. But to be honest, as the half went on, as disappointed as I was in the final third, because we had so many chances to kill them off. Even looking at the clock when it was on 80 minutes and 82 minutes, I wasn't unduly worried. You always know that. I think I said to Jack, I said, it's either going to be one stupid mistake or one piece of brilliance. I said, but other than that, I can't see us being hurt at all. And that wasn't overconfidence. It was just that we had so much of the ball. And like you say, we had a few chances. Remember, I think Nunes had a couple. I think one he shot just wide. He volleyed wide. Well, I say just wide. It was probably high and handsome at the end. But I think Onana made a good save from Nunes as well. And then we had a free kick off McAllister that looked like it might just go in the top corner, but it flew over and landed on the top of the net. But I honestly, hand on heart, I wasn't unduly worried. I was looking at the clock thinking,
You just mentioned there the McAllister free kick. Do you think that Bruno should have got a second yellow card for that challenge? Or is it one of where not every challenge is
No,
is a
you know
booking.
what? As much as I dislike him, I think he's a weasel of a player. I hate his going down. I mean, he fell foul of that for was it our first or second? I think second goal where he was moaning that Joe Gomez had gone through him, and Joe Gomez won the ball fair and square. In all honesty, Les, as much as I dislike him as a footballer, I thought he made a genuine attempt. He didn't go in studs up. It was
No,
it
it's
was.
a yellow. It's a straight. It's a second
Well,
yellow.
in this in this day and age, it probably is. But I, honest to God, I mean, Joe got booked as well for a tackle, which I thought was a decent tackle. And
It's a
unfortunately,
100% second yellow. That,
well,
100%.
I don't know.
No,
I could
100%.
understand.
Piece. It is like he's fouled him in a dangerous position. It's a second yellow straight. It should be off.
It certainly wasn't. It certainly, I think they were discussing on the telly, should have been a straight red, and straight away I
No,
said
not
to
a
him,
straight red, but
"Wasn't
it's a
a red.
second yellow, 100%.
Wasn't a red."
The fact that
I suppose,
he wasn't even talked to was fucking disgusting. Like
well,
he should have been off. He
it's
should have
just
been
one of the
off.
cases of referees bottling. I honestly didn't think it was as nasty as probably we thought it, it could have done. But saying that, we've seen yellow cards and even red cards for
I
Leicester
don't
City.
think it's nasty. I don't think it's
No.
nasty at all, but it's a second yellow. It's a foul. He should have been off, and it's massive decision that. And I messaged Les straight away. He should have been off. Like the fact that he
I
should have
mean,
been.
I actually thought it. I mean, when the free kick was given, and I seen it was Bruno, I thought he's going to be off here, because I actually thought, because of the position where he gave away the foul, it was going to be a second yellow. But the referee bottled out to making the decision. But I don't really want to, point out, at that as the as being the reason that we've got knocked out of the cup, because it isn't, despite him, what he did there, Ben, Liverpool had enough opportunities to kill that game off. We had one where we were 5-on-2, I think, and I think it was, Gakpo would come on as a substitute. Got the pass all wrong. Then Harvey Elliott got the pass all wrong, and again, I thought that the substitution. I thought Bradley did okay when he come on. I thought putting Joe Gomez to the left was fine, because I thought Robbo was again well off the pace today. But I didn't think the Elliott for Szoboszlai substitution worked. I thought that Szoboszlai was, I thought his presence in the on the field and was there for all to see. And I think when he went off, I just thought that we there was a big gap in our midfield that Harvey didn't fill today.
I actually called the Szoboszlai substitution. And I would have took him off. I didn't think he played badly. Don't get me wrong, but I thought that substitution at that time was probably right, and I did call it for Elliot. The reason we lost the game today wasn't the fact that Fernandez wasn't sent off. Far from it, but he should have been sent off. I don't care what anyone says. That was a second yellow. He should have been off. If he was sent off, we're in the next round. So it definitely helped. But we still had the chances after that. I don't think the substitution of Cody Gakpo helped. He didn't have a good game when he came on. He had a few chances. I'm not going to be critical of Elliot. He scored the goal. I thought he did all right. Not brilliant, but he did all right. Gakpo, I don't think did well. And I thought for one of the first times this year, Jürgen probably got the substitutions wrong. But I do think Liverpool were, I want to pick my words careful here in the second half. Sloppy. I think we were really sloppy in the second half. The lads that I watched the game with, we were all like a 2-1. The game's for the taking here. there for the killing. We had them on the ropes, not as much as we should have done, but we did. And the next goal at that point was the killer. If we would have got it, we would have been in the next round, and we didn't. We had a few chances, we didn't take them, but we didn't put them to the sword. The likes of, we talked about Jota today a lot when we were watching the game. If he was on the pitch, I think we possibly could have won. We'll never know. But I do think he would have been the difference. I do think Jürgen now will treat this international break as a bit of a bless him to get the players back and hopefully make a move from where we've come from.
Pete, what did you make of the substitutions? I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But the substitutions this season of 98% of the time, they've worked and they've helped us sort of get over the line in games. But today, I do think that they didn't really help at all. I mean, especially for me, Szoboszlai going off now, as he also took Mo off and put Cody on, it might have been better keeping Boz on and moving Elliot up to where Mo was,
I
because
was thinking, yeah.
that certainly didn't work for me. We seem to lose that presence in midfield, as I said a few minutes ago, that Szoboszlai give us. I mean, I'm not saying he was having, a man of the match performance, but his mere presence on the field, was doing a lot for the team and for Liverpool having control of the game. And for me, from the moment he went off, you could see the control was gradually going. And then we go into the last sort of 10 minutes or so, still leading by 2-1, but yourself, it's such a slender lead, isn't it? And in a blink of an eye, it can change, and that's what happened. As you said, there's a possibility of an offside there when Antony equalised, but yeah, it's one of them, because the defender then deliberately plays the ball, that sort of makes the offside not applicable, so to speak. Whereas, how can a defender ultimately just not clear a ball because he thinks that, a linesman or a VAR are going to give offside? They're not going to do it, so they need to be sensible.
Defenders are loath now to, I mean, they probably know in their heart of hearts someone's offside, but there's always that little bit of doubt, isn't there? Bloody VAR and stuff. A couple of times they were quite quick to put the flag up on Liverpool players. I noticed they were quite quick to raise the flag, but although I can't remember who it may have been who ran offside. I don't know for United, but there was a long ball, and he was a yard offside. But like I say, because Joe Gomez, I think it was, played the ball, that now becomes null and void.
And they got a throw in. Like it's madness,
I
yeah.
know, and to me, if you're not, I remember Brian Clough saying something years ago. I think he tried to tweak the rules. It was certainly not in the realms of what we are now, and I think he tried to tweak the rules to say that if you're not sort of actually touching the ball or you're not affecting play, you play on. And Brian Clough said, if you're on the pitch, you're affecting play. Doesn't matter if you touch the ball or not, the defender's got one eye on you. And it might be 99.9% certain that you're offside, but if he lets that ball run and then they score from it and it's not, and the goal's given, you're going to look stupid, aren't you? Just referring to the substitutes. I think it's happened a few times lately where, yeah, eventually it has affected the game in our favour. But after we make substitutions, for 5 or 10 minutes, we just seem to lose a bit of cohesion and stuff. I was like you, I thought maybe Szoboszlai could have stayed on. I think when you look at the three that have come off, they've had long layoffs for one reason or another. You had Szoboszlai come off Robbo, who obviously had the long layoff with his shoulder, and then Mo. But when you look at the timing of them, the Mo Salah substitution was only like 12 minutes to go. And I would have hoped that Mo had another 12 minutes in his legs. But like you say, I'd have probably taken Mo off earlier and brought Harvey on. So when Gakpo come on, I mean, I gave him man of the match. I think a couple of us gave him man of the match against Prague. But he was totally ineffective. He looked very lightweight. He didn't get to the pace of the game at all. And I just think those two substitutions, or sorry, three in the space of 5 minutes. And then they brought Eriksen on. And I was quite pleased actually they brought Eriksen on because Maynou went off. And I think he's a cracking little player, that lad. Very good player. And I thought, well, if Eriksen's coming on, he certainly hasn't got legs. But what he does give you, he can pick a pass out. And I just thought those substitutions, if they'd have been made on 65 minutes instead of 72 and to 77, it may have been better, but it just seemed to. We didn't really have. We weren't battering them at any stage, but we still looked comfortable. And I just think if we'd have made them 10 minutes earlier rather than when we did, we may have had our 5 minute little hiccup that we always have after subs. And then we'd have got a grip of the game again. But it came at such a stage where it gave them the last 10 minutes, a little cheer up. And as I say, the goal, I know Anthony wasn't offside and the lead up wasn't, but certainly the long ball that Joe played should have been called offside. He was a mile off.
Yeah, and then Bendy, not only did we then sort of give the lead away, we very nearly lost it at the end of normal time when Rashford had an opportunity that he should have taken.
He should have done.
I mean,
I mean, he was offside, was
offside,
well, he
yeah.
was offside apparently, but he's got to score that. And I think that just would have summed the day up, Liz. We've all been at Anfield when we've been the dominant side, and we just haven't shown. We haven't finished the game off, and that's just what it felt like the whole second half. You're sitting there for, sorry, 40 minutes, and you're thinking another goal kills the game, and we just didn't get it. I think the substitutions for the one of the first times this season didn't work. I'm not sure on the Szoboszlai one. I don't think he had the best game, but you're right. As soon as he went off, we did lose that impetus in midfield. Whether that was him not being on the pitch or the substitution, I don't know, but it did have an effect. But yeah, it was one of those frustrating games where we haven't put a worse team than us to the sword. And I'm sure Jürgen in the next 2 weeks will make the most of it.
Yeah, Pete. So we then go into extra time, and again in extra time, they start off and look like they've got the momentum. But then, Liverpool then towards the, I would say the second half of the first period of extra time, start to look the better team again, and United seem to look a bit heavy legged. And then Harvey Elliott has a shot from the edge of the box. It's deflected and goes in the corner, and you think, right, don't let's sort of throw this opportunity away again. And you think, right, now we've got the lead, surely to be able to hold it this time. But as we'll discuss later on, that doesn't turn out to be the case. But it was it was great to see Harvey sort of what we hope would have been the winning goal, put Liverpool 3-2 ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we'd already won the game once, hadn't we? And then we had to go to extra time. And then once we got our noses in front again, I said to Jack, well, we've won it twice now. We can't let this slip again. I mean, you expected United to have a go back by, obviously because it was a cup game. But you just wanted us to have a period of time where we had control of the ball. And we were, even if we weren't creating any chances, I just think some of our decision making was a little bit daft, at
You think,
times.
Pete, can I just ask you something? You're talking there about the decision making. Do you think that's probably a little bit of mental tiredness where they've had such an intense period of games, which, you know, which were all really must win games, you know, over the last sort of month, with, you know, injury after injury after injury, and players sort of coming back and then going out injured again, and the same players having to go to the well time and time and time again. So do you think that there was a little bit of mental fatigue in there with the, you know, with the decision making and getting the passes right at the, you know, getting the final pass right at the end of a move, or, you know, like with the, as we discussed earlier, it was the 5-on-2-1, wasn't it, that they completely got wrong? And, you know, the players just seemed to be a bit mentally drained. I don't know whether you thought that.
You could argue the point that that's the case, definitely, but I think there's times in a game, and especially when you've just taken, as I say, we'd already won it once in 90 minutes and we contrived to, you know, to lose the lead. And then we go ahead in injury time. And to be honest, I just want to play ugly football. I really do. I'm not really worried about trying to pass the ball to feet all the time. If you're in your final third, just launch it 60, 70 yards and do what they do in rugby and put it into touch and then get your shape back. And I think sometimes we just try to be a bit too clever when really we should just play, like I say, ugly football. You know, run the clock down, try and win free kicks that United normally, you know, or opposition normally do by the faintest of touch going down. And I just think we, you know, they call it game management. And I just thought the game management was poor today when we were ahead twice. You know, as I say, in the first period up to 90 minutes, even at 80 minutes and that, I was just looking at the clock thinking they're not going to hurt us. Then Harvey scores a goal, I suppose, similar to the one that was taken off him at Wolverhampton, because I don't know if, I've not seen a replay of this. I don't know if it was on target or not today and if he gets the goal or not. But he took a shot from the edge of the box and it just took a deflection and went in.
It was definitely on target today, please.
Was it, mate? So,
yeah.
And then you just start thinking, like I say, game management. And I think Quirin got yellow carded for doing a bit of game management, didn't he, when he was taking his time over a goal kick and that. And then, like you say, mate, whether it was mental tiredness or just stupidity, can I use that word?
Maybe a mixture of both, Pete.
Yeah. And then Rashford finds himself on the end of a McTominay pass, and bugger me, after the misses he'd made, he snuck this one into the corner. And then, you know, at that stage, you're thinking, well, it's going to go to penalties now, because I didn't think, although saying that, you looked on the pitch, and I think United only had two defenders on the pitch. I think Fernandes was playing as centre-half at one stage, because he just went shit all bust, didn't he? Mm. But, yeah, it was just, I think, game management. I think if Liverpool look at this as a group and watch a replay of this, like you say, when we had the 5-on-2, it was just that final ball. I thought he should have gone to Nunes on the left, but it went right, and it was just not right the way to pass on that. But like Ben said, they were a wounded animal, and we should have seen them off a long time before the final whistle.
Yeah. So then, you know, we go into the last minute, Ben, the second period of extra time, and Liverpool force a corner, and you're thinking, you know, let's have a repeat of what happened at Wembley.
Mm.
You know, United half cleared the ball drops on the edge of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I see it is that Harvey Elliott and Endo both go for the ball, and Harvey should have left it to Endo, because Endo's sort of running towards it. Harvey's coming in from the side.
Mm.
And, you know, very similar to what happened at Luton. He loses possession.
Mm.
And then it was like a case of, you know, 2-on-1, I think. And would they pay the pass right? I think they just about got it right. And the lad, Diallo, I think it was, didn't hit it as true as Kells thought he was going to be hit. And it sort of, and because he scuffed it a little bit, you know, it ends up going in the corner, and it's game over, so to speak. I mean, the lad ended up getting sent off, didn't he, for taking his shirt off, which I think is an absolute farce of a rule, by the way. You know, going by what you were saying before, you know, a fellow will get a second yellow card for celebrating the possibility of a winning goal in a really big cup game, right, that then makes him miss the semi final. You had a fella who does a tackle on the edge of the box, you know, that stops a possible goal scoring opportunity, doesn't get booked because the referee bottles it. You know what I mean? It's a bizarre rule for me, and one I don't like and have never liked. But yeah, so we, and then ultimately then we'd paid the price for not being clinical enough.
I think we paid the price for not being cynical enough. Like Harvey Elliott or Endo needs to just wipe him out on the edge of the box, like Fernandez did. And then we're talking about penalties. End off. Yeah. It was a case of we were too nice. You take a yellow card there and you run for the hills. I'm loath to blame Elliott.
I'm not.
He should have done better.
The same as we have to say, you know, their equalising goal was poor from Nunes as well. You know what I mean? He plays a ball that he should never have done right at the top to midfield that's intercepted, which is where their second goal's come from. We've won possession back, so he should be hitting it up the field. And he plays it across, which is then gives United the opportunity to intercept, which they do. And the ball then goes through to Rashford, and we're not set. And what I'd say is
he wasn't the only culprit, Les. In the last hour of the game, there was numerous players in a white and green shirt that were culprits to not making the right decisions. Harvey Elliott was far from the only one. So I don't want to throw him under the bus in any way.
That's what I was saying before, Les, about percentage football. Yeah. Nunes, why are you playing a square ball 25 yards out when you're in, like, you know, towards the end of the game? Just launch it up the bloody line and put it out for a throw-in. Just push them back 60 yards. And I sometimes wonder why we play this type of...
Yeah. Like, that last corner just summed up our performance. It was a poor ball in. We didn't deal with it when United won the first ball. It was just poor football. And the only positive from that result today is it probably keeps Ten Hag in a job. That's the only cushion that we can take from it. But I don't really care about that. All I care about is us.
Yeah, exactly.
It's poor, like, and they were there for the taking, and I don't think we've ever beat them at Old Trafford in the FA Cup. And that was the first time today that we could have put them to the sword. And I think Jürgen will be coming down the M62 or the East Lancs or whatever we're coming home and thinking, Christ, that was a missed opportunity, that.
Yeah. Well, I think we all think it was a missed opportunity. And I think that if you listen to the commentary on ITV, Pete, they were saying, weren't they, that Jürgen was getting really frustrated with the team at times, with the decision making. So it wasn't only us fans who were getting really sort of annoyed, if you like, or frustrated, you know, with the decision making of the players at times. Jürgen was as well. And you know, and you know, we paid the ultimate price in the end, didn't we? And you know, we're now out of the FA Cup. I mean, you know, you know, the quadruple is going to be really, really difficult to do anyway, because you only have to have a bad 5 minutes, 10 minutes in a game or in a close game, and it can all be taken away from you. You know, if this sort of loss in the last minute, you know, means that, you know, we win the league in May, you know, I'll be quite happy. You know what I mean? But it does hurt at the minute, doesn't it, Pete?
Yeah, well, it's just the nature of it. As I say, it's strange, actually, because like Ben said, we've been drawn against United quite a few times in the Cup. I'm talking about Old Trafford, not at our place, because I think we've beaten them a couple of times at our place, haven't we? But we always say bring it on. But, you know, we'll beat United, we'll beat United. And for some reason, I mean, it was just the profligacy today in front of goal. You know, the decision-making, we keep saying it. Just the wrong ball, just the wrong way to ball, just the wrong decision. But they were there, like Ben said, They were there for the taking of 2-1. Half time, they came out. And they just hung in there, and they rode the luck a bit down to our decision making, really. I mean, if you can guarantee that loss today means that we're going to go on and win the league, I'll take it out all day. Don't get me wrong, but you can't guarantee anything like that. And we've still got to go up there in the league. And let's hope when we go up there in a few weeks' time in the league, we've learned our lesson and we do put them to the sword. And maybe them being in that, I don't know what date would you supply them, but maybe them being in the cup date.
It's the 7th, isn't it? The 7th of April, I think.
Yeah, so it's only a few, two or three weeks away. So, let's go up there and put them to the sword this time and get the 3 points. And like I say, if you could guarantee the, if you'd have said to any Liverpool fan pre-kickoff, if you lose today but you go on to win the league, would you take it? I think even the 9,000 who travelled up there would say yeah. But there's no guarantees in football. But let's hope this is just a little jolt to the system and we come back refreshed. And we, like I was saying in the last pod, I think we need to win 9 out of the last 10. And there are going to be some tough games. Everton will make it hard for us. United will. I mean, Fulham yesterday turned Spurs over. So there's some tough away games to go. We've still got Tottenham up at our place and they've got to play all of us. So let's use today. Let's at least take a positive from today is that we were good enough to beat them and for whatever reasons we didn't. And let's take that into the last 9 games and also into the European competition.
Ben, so I'll go to you first today and say, who is your player of the match for Liverpool? And it's a difficult one today for probably the wrong reasons.
I'm struggling to think of one, Les, to be honest. I think if we would have won, which we could have done, possibly should have done, I probably would have given it to McAllister. I don't know. Like I'm genuinely struggling to pick one. I bet you were a bit harsh before on Robertson. I thought Robertson did okay. I thought he didn't show composure in front of goal, which he never has. Even when he was at his pomp, he never showed composure in front of goal. Van Dijk did okay. I don't know. I for a man of the match, honestly, I don't think anyone stood out. Do you? Do you think anyone stood out? Don't give me a name. Do you think anyone stood out?
I think there was a few players that you could give it to.
But do you think anyone stood out?
I don't think anybody. What I will say is, I don't think there was anybody sort of at the top of the game. But there was a few players who out there who sort of, were better than some of the others. Let us say.
Right. Okay. Name them.
Okay. I thought if
you want, do you want my man of the match then?
Go on, then, Pete.
He'll be one of them. I can see your point with McAllister, but I just thought throughout the game, I thought Diaz gave us something going forward. Sometimes the decision-making, but I just thought his energy all through the game was fantastic. And I'd have given it to Lucho today.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He was one of the ones who would have given. The other ones who would have given it, who were thought to come into play were Virgil, Kwanzaa and Kelleher. But I would give it to Virgil.
It's odd though, Les. I mean, it's not odd, but we've conceded 4 goals today, and we're talking about 3 defenders, including the keeper who played well. And wonder why did we concede 4?
I don't think Virgil was man of the match today. I don't think he did bad. Don't get me wrong, but I don't really agree with Lucho either. Like I thought Lucho was one of the games where he huffed and puffed, but didn't do anything else. And it's getting to the point where he needs to get that end product. Like, I like him, don't get me wrong, but he needs to do more. I don't think anyone stood out today. That's why I was struggling for a man of the match. I rarely think it's a difficult one.
Yeah. Well, come on, give us a name then, Ben. You're not gonna do a Tommy and sit on the fence.
Well, I am sitting on the fence at the moment. I think if I was to name anyone, I would name McAllister. He scored a goal. I thought he had a good game. But like I said, Les, I don't think anyone stood out. I don't think anyone raise the game to the point where a team that's going to win the league needs to do. And for me, that's the biggest worry from today. United were there from the taking, and none of our players raised the game. So for me, I'd give it to McAllister, but I don't think anyone stood out.
Yeah. So to just answer your question from before, Pete, where you said, you know, I've named three defenders there. And because I would say that certainly two of the goals, which was the two in extra time, weren't caused by defensive errors. They were caused by the defenders being up upfield for what they should have been for the fourth one to try and score the winning goal for the corner. And the rest of the team let them down, i.e. Harvey Elliott, you know, for the fourth goal, and Darwin Núñez passing the ball across the field, you know, for the third one. So you couldn't really blame the defence for either of those goals, and even for the first one, which is why, you know, ultimately Kwanzaa wouldn't have got it, was because, you know, he sort of was out of position for the first goal. But you couldn't blame Virgil for that, because
Yeah.
Virgil's doing what
No, I understand that argument, but I'm just saying it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird to choose a defender when
Yeah.
we've left more goals in. I'm with you. I mean, I've said it all podcast, it was because we were just stupid in some of the decisions we made, and ultimately they were from attacking players. And like Ben said, that winning goal, we should have wiped the lad out and taken a yellow card and then gone to pens. At least we had a chance, didn't
I
we?
honestly think we need to get nasty again. Like the
We're
year we
not
won the
nasty.
league,
We're
we were
not
nasty.
nasty enough.
No, we're
We're
not.
certainly not nasty enough. And I keep saying it about Manchester City, but they know how to see a game out because they will foul and foul and foul to break the game up.
Can
And
you
we don't
imagine
do it.
Rodri in that position?
Exactly. I mean, even a red card at that stage, if you pull someone and take a red, you're in the last minute. At least go to penalties. You
To
know
be
what I mean?
fair, I don't think I'd want a red, but I'd want somebody to just, take a
Yeah.
cynical foul. That's
Yeah.
it.
But anyway, one positive as per Jed Ray is that he says that the last time Liverpool lost a cup tie by 4-3, we went on to win the league. So
Who was
that's
that to, Les?
was that
Do you know?
Crystal Palace?
Yeah, that
Was that
was Crystal
Palace?
Palace in the
Yeah.
FA Cup semi-final in 1990.
That was another game that we should have seen off and we didn't. And in fairness to Palace, they were quite feisty that day. They never gave up, did they?
Right.
I don't know. I'm still shaking my head at today's game, thinking, how did
Yeah.
we let that slip, you know?
And the other thing I will say as well, I suppose, again, we'll only know the answer to this one, you know, after the final whistle goes on the 7th. But and I mean, and Ben will concur with this because we both said this, you know, when we played Arsenal in the third round, that if you could have choose to win one and lose one, I'd much have preferred to have won the league game and gone up in the third round of the FA Cup. But you know, it wasn't to be. So let's hope that, you know, we're having a very different podcast, you know, after the 7th, when we play Man United again at Old Trafford, where, you know, we're going into a period of games now where, you know, they're more important than today, in my opinion. I mean,
I
today for me,
honest, you know what, Les? Les, and Ben, I honestly think if this game had been next week in the calendar, I think with another week behind them, with the likes of Szoboszlai, Salah coming back from injury, I think we would have beaten them. I really do. And I just think, I sort of agree with Les, it wasn't really the physical side, it was the mental side that let us down today, decision making. And I think another week without a game, because I don't think they had a game all midweek. We had the Sparta Prague game, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which, in fairness, it was a procession, wasn't it? And I just thought we'd treat that as a warm up to this game today. But I think another week in the bank for some of the players who've been out, and I include Robbo in that, because he hasn't set the world on fire since he come back after, but he had a long layoff, didn't he? And I just
Yeah.
think another week recuperation, just may have made a difference today. So the thing to look forward to now is let's hope these niggles that we've got mean that the lads don't go on international duty, and the ones that do go on international duty don't get any injuries. And then if we beat Brighton next game, we go top of the league. and let's look on the bright side of that, you know.
Yeah, what I was going to say, Pete, was that for me, I usually take the FA Cup in isolation, and like depending on where you are in the season, depends on what my feelings are towards the FA Cup now, because I don't think it's that much difference, if any difference anymore, to the League Cup. And I'm not just saying that because we've won the League Cup and we've now got out the FA Cup. I genuinely believe that now the FA have ruined one of the best, if not the best, cup competitions in the world by having semi-finals at Wembley, you know, having the kickoff of the FA Cup final, you know, at any other time, but, you know, except for where it should be at 3 o'clock. So to me, the FA Cup now isn't the same competition as it was in the 70s and 80s. So my big motivation today was because it was against Manchester United, and also because, you know, there was a possibility of Liverpool doing the quadruple, you know what I mean, which nobody had ever done before. And so, you know, the hate might come, you know, more towards the end of the season if this is the start of a puncture, you know, in our hopes, if you like, rather than a little blip. But in a way, I think that I'm glad that it's come at the point of the international break now, because I think the last thing Liverpool had wanted at the minute, you know, in terms of the injuries and stuff, is to have another game in midweek. You know what I mean? That could have just totally, you know, took us over the edge, especially after playing extra time today. So, Ben, I'll ask you, you know, Jürgen said after the game that Lucio, Darwin and Cody have all picked up knocks. I think Lucio's got a bit of a tight groin. Nunes has felt something in his hamstring, and Cody twisted his ankle in that tackle where Liverpool got the corner near the end. So hopefully, he didn't say that they weren't travelling to go and meet up with the national teams. He just said these lads are due to play again in 4 or 5 days' time. So we hope the national teams are sensible with them. But I don't know why we just don't pull them out the same as, you know, other clubs do with their international players if they've got a bit of a niggle. For example, the 115ers with De Bruyne.
I was about to say there's a team down the M62 with 115 charges that regularly pull a goalkeeper out and other players. So I'm no fan of international football. I would happily withdraw all of our players from international friendlies. Why do they play international friendlies at this stage of the season? Christ only knows. But yeah, I didn't hear that interview, Les, so that's news for me. But if they are niggly in any way, sod their countries. We pay the wages. Hopefully the club will stand firm and hold them back. I think, like I said earlier, we've got 2 weeks now where Jürgen can, I'm loath to say rebuild, because I don't think we need to rebuild anything. Where
I think we just need to get, you know, the
I think we just need confidence back. I think we need to regroup from where we were today. Like I said, they were there for the taking. It's a sign of where we are and where they are and how the game was played. Like, we were, any, we should have won the game today. The way they celebrated the game shows what it means to them. A fair play, you know, we hate each other. That will mean a lot to them. There's no sugarcoat it. That's massive for them. And we can't begrudge them for it. Winning against us in the last minute for them is massive. But we should never have allowed them the opportunity to do it. They won the game today because of us. There's no bones about it. They won because of us, not because of them. And hopefully Jürgen will rectify it, which I'm sure he will. He's got 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And the game against Brighton in 2 weeks, I am convinced that we'll win that game.
Yeah. So let's hope that all the players who are going away on international duty come back and are raring to go for the Brighton game. Let's hope we get some more good news on the injured players. Now, we said that Curtis Jones should be available. You'll to play against Brighton. Gravenberch should have more training time between now and then. Bisicic is currently doing a pre-season, so he can't be far away. And then it's just the case of then of getting the likes of Trent back. And hopefully Ibu will be back after the international break as well. So hopefully we're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel. Just hope these lads who felt a few niggles today adjust a little bit of fatigue, you know, after the 90 minutes. So fingers crossed. So we'll have an anxious wait over the next 2 weeks to hope that there's no further injuries during the international break as we head into the, you know, the business part of the season. So on a very disappointing night for Liverpool, when their quadruple dreams were ended, but rest assured, there's still two big prizes to play for, and we're right in the mix for both of them. So come on, Reds, don't be too downhearted. We've still got plenty to play for this season, and let's all get behind Jürgen and the boys, and make sure that we give them our support and everything we can to get over the line in the league and also the Europa League. So on that note, I'll thank Pete and Ben for joining me tonight. And as I always do, and end this podcast by saying, justice for the 97. You'll never walk alone, and don't buy the sun. Until next time, goodbye.